Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. Welcome to your poetic home from thousands of miles around. Poets from all around the world coming together to share their work. Let's invoke the muse. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, April 21st, 2017 edition. We are so back. We are so very, very back.
yes, we are.
So I am co-host for the evening. I'm Michael Amadei. With me here is JT. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. The week off was needed,
Yeah. Nice,
but for whatever dumb reason, my body went, hey, you know that cough that you don't like? You're going to keep this thing, and it's just going to creep up from time to time.
Well, so. I think that when you push things as hard as we tend to. A lot of times when you get a break, it falls apart. That's why I just don't take breaks.
No, okay. I'm kidding. Well, next time.
No, that's not a good plan. I ended up basically working straight through. I was in Cripple Creek, Colorado.
That's right.
And I'm going to make a statement on the air right now. I really had a hard time in Cripple Creek. I just didn't really dig it. Apparently, I'm going back and playing there about two or three more times this year. So maybe I will grow to love it. I do hear that in the summer, they let donkeys roam the streets free.
Awesome.
And their mascot for the town, no kidding, you can look this up, is the Jack Aspen, which is a picture of a donkey that morphs into an aspen tree. It's probably the trippiest thing I've seen in a while. So I'm going to be hanging out in the land of the Jack Aspen a few times this year, and hopefully it'll work out better. But we performed at a place called Mountain Life Church, just outside of Cripple Creek, Colorado. And it was one of those places that was just in the middle of the mountains. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. The weather was beautiful. And the people who came to hear us perform were just awesome. Great crowd. And we were just really, it was really a pleasure to be able to share that time with them. And for me, my sacred moments in life are about poetry, about music, about film, about art, and about connection. And, you know, for me, there's no better way to celebrate something that is sacred, whatever your belief that is, you know, what sacred is. For me, being able to do things through music is really what that's about. And it was really something. And it also gave me an interesting marker looking at how much I have changed the person in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And how much I have noticed a gentle softening of who I am. But a maturation. I feel like I've grown a lot in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it was just, Easter was an interesting mark for that. I can't really explain all of it, but it's been really something. So anyway, that was just 1 week away. I'm going to shut up because I could keep going, but no one wants to hear this stuff. It's about a poetry show. So we're going to start getting into it. First of all, We're going to be revealing our Poet of the Month for April 2017 this week, which we'll give you next week in case you want to call in and share work by them or inspired by them. We could do that too.
Yeah.
That works.
Either way.
Either way. But first of all, we're going to do our first call-in segment of five callers. Here are our two rules. Number one, no hate speech. We don't do that. We won't promote it. Number two, no word porn. So we ask that you try to be in good taste or serve the art of the piece. Okay? We try to skew PG-13, but we understand life isn't PG-13. We just ask that we're here for the art, okay, and try to make the best decisions with that. Those are our two rules. So here's what we're going to do. First call-in segment, we need five unique callers to give us a call at 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
You'll be lined up in the order you call. Give us a call at that number or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
I's a good girl, I is!
All right. Let's try a new one then. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
The plain on the Spain falls down like rain.
No. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
A manly plain is down like rain.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Oh, you mean World Poetry Open Mic?
By God, I think she's got it.
That was incredible.
That was totally...
I gotta tell you, that accent I did.
The fluctuating accent?
Kevin Costner, eat your heart out.
Oh.
The rain in Spain. My favorite thing she did. The manly plain falls down like rain.
Wasn't it great?
And you know what's funny? She sounds slightly like Russell Brand.
Yeah, when she does that. Yeah.
If I try to copy her voice, I sound like I'm doing a Russell Brand impersonation. You know,
and it was very difficult for her to mix up those words.
Yeah, we could have written that ahead of time, and I just don't think we did because we were just riffing off. I mean, most of those things, most people don't know. When we did those, it was literally like JT just hits record and sits back and
watch the show.
And Michael and Christine just do weird stuff. And that's what we're left with.
And
okay.
And I edit like crazy.
And you edit like crazy. You know what the funny thing is? Quickly about Russell Brand.
Yeah.
I get, and not because of how I act, but certain elements of my personality, I get compared to him more than anybody else.
Interesting.
And I don't know what that is.
Hmm.
But, I find that kind of interesting, and I don't really understand why. But I've been compared to Russell Brand a lot.
Okay.
I don't look nothing like the guy. So, anyway.
Yeah, very true. You do not look like him.
No, I do not. All right. Anyway, so let's head. We've got five great callers. Now, first of all, I'm seeing Dennis in the chat room. I think Dennis called when we were ramping back up, and we couldn't get to the call.
Right.
So this is our first time, I think, that Dennis has been on the show that we haven't seen him in the first segment.
For a long time.
For a long time. Yeah. So, Dennis, please hang tight. We really want to get you in on the next segment.
Yeah.
But we're starting with a great, great poet. And let's just jump right into it. Let's head to British Columbia in Vancouver to Cynthia. Good evening, Cynthia.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, it's beautiful spring weather here.
Oh, it is here, too. It really is. Is it raining up there?
Not tonight. So
oh,
that's
nice.
A reason to celebrate.
It was really raining here last night, and I had to do about a 120-130 mile trip.
Something like that.
Last night. And I mean, it was really, really, really coming down for most of the trip. So I was playing really epic soundtrack music because what else would you do if you were doing that? So what's new with you?
I just got published in Contemporary Verse, too, which is
Woo-hoo!
One of my favorite magazines. So I'm celebrating.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, they're a really nice magazine. They're a literary journal out of Winnipeg, and they really do a good job, I think, just representing the mixture of contemporary poetry from classic to, you know, really freestyle.
Oh, that's awesome. So they do a good job for Winnipeg. That could be the tagline. For Winnipeg, they do a good job. No, I'm playing around.
But obviously. Seriously, for Canada, it's one I've always admired, and now I'm in it. So, yay.
Oh, that's
so that's my first piece for tonight.
That's so cool. Okay, I'm going to let you have the floor.
Okay. This goes with that really dark mood you were talking about and the epic songs and the rain.
So
this is something completely different than what I've read on the show. It's an edgier, dark piece. It's from the point of view of a main character I'm working on. Her name's Hannah, and she's 17, and she's been living on the street. So she's pretty depressed, and it's rainy and dark. So this is called The Unwanted Catch. A crackle of fireworks, fibroids of fishing lines pull you in like broken machinery. Cinder sink in slow motion. When your hair was in a knot, you separated it strand by strand to find yourself from underneath the clutter and anger and dirt of street life. But this is not your mess, and there is nothing of yourself in it. End poem.
You're definitely right about the dark mood. I really like that one.
I'm really enjoying being her. Like I love going out and wearing my, don't mess with me boots.
Yeah.
Walking hard in the rain and just feeling her.
And she's
learning boundaries, of course.
Oh, very good.
Actually,
yes.
And the poem came about because I really did have a huge knot in the back of my hair because I was living in a really stressful situation.
Huh.
I don't know if someone put super glue in my shampoo or if my hair was mirroring how stressful my life was. So when I actually did, like my neighbor saw me, I was leaving my apartment. She's like, "Are you going to work?" And I'm like, "Yep, I'm going to work." Like, "I can't let you leave like that, Cynthia. I'm fixing your hair." She was a stylist.
Wow,
so,
yeah, good.
Yeah, so she went and cut out some of the knots and things. And then I insisted on leaving my hair long. So I actually separated parts of it strand by strand.
Wow.
And then wrote about it and then put it into a novel.
All right.
See, that's something that I really think is. How do I want to say this? Oh, you know what it is? First of all, some people would refer to it as method writing, right? But I think the other side of it is, I came to realize as you grow up, you're always sold the whole thing that, rock stars, musicians are the really, intense people. Then you realize, no, for them to perform, they have to have a pretty regular schedule of going to bed and taking care of themselves. The really crazy people are the writers. If you know what I mean? And I'm just as bad, if not worse, than everybody else.
Yeah.
I love it. The people who live on the blinding edge of life a lot of times are the writers. And I love
it. Partly for the experience, right?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I'm going to do something totally insane. I'm going to do what they said you can't do, because who would spend hours separating strand by strand? Like, who has nothing better to do than do that and then write about it while doing it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's some things that I've written about or the things that I've done that are going to show up in some writing, and people are going to go, "What? And it actually happened." I mean, that's the... And it's things that I love getting involved in life. In fact, JT and I were talking about ways to get ourselves on some ridiculous adventures here in the near future. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Cynthia, that was great.
Yeah.
No, that was wonderful. Thanks so much. And,
thank you so much.
Looking forward to hearing your work a little bit later, but congratulations on getting published. That's fantastic, and we all celebrate for you, and I'm sure offer you congratulations as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, Cynthia? Thank you. And that was Cynthia giving us a call from British Columbia, Vancouver. I don't know if you know where that is, JT, but it's north.
North?
North.
Ooh, maybe a little bit west, too.
Well, a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Hey, Jim, if you hear us, call now.
Yeah, Jim.
Hey, look at that.
That was amazing, actually.
I am awesome.
Wow,
ready?
You said that, and it was like, a split second, and
boom!
Yo, Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
All right. Well, you're on the air now.
All right.
That was great. Using the magic of telepathy and telephony. That's not a word. That's not a word. Okay, Jim, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Been a busy week. I had to pull some overtime this week. You know, it's not enough people for the B team, so the A team had to help.
You're like, man, this is really hairy. How are we going to get out of this? You know what? It just occurred to me. This is the B team. We got to call in the A team. And somehow Mr. T is in the A team. That makes no sense.
Well, I just love it when a plan comes together.
You know, oh, I do too. I say that every time I make a sandwich. You see, I wish you could see the way JT's looking right now. He's just, one day I'm going to slap this guy. All right, so I'm going to clear the stage, let you share what you want to share, and we'll talk after, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Two choices. I have one. I did a poem, Eve's perspective on the whole fall of man with Adam. And another one, originally titled The Crimson Nightmare Pilot's Wife. And I had a suggestion on the title. Which one do you think I should do?
Man, you know, I think they both sound great, but let's start with the Eve one. I'm interested to hear how that would go.
Okay. While Adam watched. While Adam watched, I danced about the garden, naked as he, and we enjoyed each other's company. While Adam watched, I talked with God in the twilight of each day, and we enjoyed what he had to say. While Adam watched, the serpent spoke as I stood by the forbidden tree, and he enjoyed what he said to me. While Adam watched, I turned my eyes away, as did he, and we dreaded each other's company. End of poem.
I thought that was really cool. What did you think, JT?
I enjoyed it. Summed up that perspective.
See, I was always so interested that Lilith was never mentioned, you know. No, yeah, you know, that was great.
I've heard her mentioned mostly through Lewis, but
it doesn't show up.
I have no thoughts one way or the other.
Oh, for sure. In fact, Lilith doesn't actually show up in Scripture. Exactly. Now, that was exactly what I was saying. She doesn't show up in Scripture. At least the accepted ones from that's in the Old Testament and all that stuff. So, absolutely, I got it, Jim. Jim, I really thought that was good. Thank you, man.
All right, thank you.
And will we hear back from you? Do you think in the return engagement?
Yeah, I'm gonna do the other one I just mentioned.
That'd be great. All right.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bring out the next poll.
We will do so. All right. Thanks, buddy. And that was Jim calling all the way from Pennsylvania. You know, strangely, they have a lot of writing utensils there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Strange facts.
More than other places?
Well, you know, it's on the name. Okay, let's go to... speaking of places that have more of one thing than another place, let's go to Arizona to visit with Mary.
There's a lot of air here.
I've heard that. I know some people from Arizona. There's a lot of hot air around them, let me tell you.
Hot and a lot of air, a lot.
That's good. I think air is a good thing.
All right.
Yeah. How are you, Mary?
How are you, boy?
Doing well. How about you?
I have no complaints.
Well, good. That could just mean that you're being strong, though.
You know, if I were to be in this state, after the state of almost everything I've ever been in, and I complained here, I would be a bigger fool than I ever knew.
You know, fair enough.
And I've known some doozies.
But you know what? I can respect that. I can totally respect that.
Okay. I'm fighting a little cold. Not a little cold, but I got a little rail going on when I try to take a deep breath, so I'm going to be real easy on myself tonight.
All right.
I'm going to just do this little thing by... Dorothy Richardson, a British poet from the 20th century, and I like her because I love the narrative stream of consciousness. She wrote Painted Pointed Roofs in 1915, and a little excerpt I'm going to say. On one side was a little gray river, on the other long wet grass, repelling and depressing. Not far ahead was the roadway, which led, she supposed, to the farm where they were to drink new milk. She would have to walk with someone when they came to the road and talk. she wondered whether this early morning walk would come. Now, every day, her heart sank at the thought. And boom.
Oh, that was,
isn't that nice?
Yeah, that was cool. Good choice.
She stole a few words, and she took me on. She takes me journeys. Come on, I'm not a port. You guys are so wonderful. On I go. I'm closing down now for the next.
Mary, that was great. Thanks for sharing it, and a good read.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. And that was Mary calling us from Arizona. They have a lot of heat in Arizona.
It is a place I drive through with the air conditioning at full blast.
You know, that's true. It's true. Now, I've got to be honest, though. I was in Arizona for Thanksgiving at one point a few years back. And it was really nice. It was really pleasant. And just the weather was fantastic. I loved being able to wear shorts on Thanksgiving. Now,
we got to this year.
You know, that's right. I guess we did, but the year before,
it was
Game of Thrones, like, snowy outside.
Winter was here.
Winter is here. Don't even try the other thing.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was definitely here.
Yeah, this year really did not happen. But, I didn't mind. I was in Vegas for a New Year's one year.
Oh, really?
And it was very pleasant.
It's like, kind of cool to be in a place where the weather's
nice. Nice.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I will still.
Well, dude.
It's just me, though.
Well, and it's the one thing that I've heard from a lot of friends of mine, too, that left Colorado or places that have winter and have gone out to a place that doesn't. You start really missing the seasons. And, I think you would, too, and I think I would.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Hey, Stan, if you're listening, go ahead and give us a call.
Yeah. Oh, and so while we're waiting for Stan.
Yes.
I am really looking forward to sharing some stuff about the Poet of the Month this month. And I'm going to read a piece of work after our next two poets.
Okay.
And then I'll reveal who he is. I will say, hold on to your underpants. It's going to be a doozy.
All right.
Stan's calling. Let's just pick him up live on the air.
All right.
Since we're the only ones doing it live anymore.
That's right.
Hey, Stan, you're on the air.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for calling in. How are you doing this week?
Doing fine this week.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Happy to hear it. I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after. Sound good?
All right. Sounds good.
There you go.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello.
All right. Hey, sorry about that, Stan. We put ourselves on mute for you to have the floor there. So, Yeah. You're already on the air, my friend. You're already there.
Oh, I had no idea, man.
All right. So we're gonna go on mute now. This is time for your poem. We'll talk after.
All right. That'll work.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Well, this poem is just entitled, What If? Why not? As soon as I find it. Oh, God.
It's all right, Stan. find your spot. We'll start again. No worries.
All right, man.
This is really loose, man. We're good. Are you ready?
Okay.
You got it now?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
We're going to go with something different.
All right.
All right. This is called Safe Sex.
Okay, perfect.
Are you ready?
Last time someone said those two sentences together, I wasn't so sure, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Okay. There was a gal who always exfoliated after those nights that she had fornicated. She said, I like to keep a clean skin, so you never know where I've been. But after this, you better get vaccinated. End of poem.
I like that one.
I don't know if I'll be awake for After Dark, so I figured I better throw that one out there right now.
That was a good one, man. I like that. That made me laugh.
That was good.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
JT liked it, too. That's good. Yeah. Perfect, man. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
All right, that's gonna be stuck in my head.
There's a nice visual for you to take home.
it's like a slightly longer Dirty Limerick, basically.
Yeah, extremely.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Hey,
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye. And that was Stan Kahn all the way from Alabama.
It was great.
That's great. All right. And perfect. I can't imagine someone more perfect to follow up that poem than Philip from Kentucky. Hey, Philip, how are you?
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. How's it going?
Hi.
I would love to make my entire speech pattern just be that phrase and just have a bunch of different meanings. Someone take something. Hi.
Well, you know, I think Charles M. Schulz, you know, beat me to that. I mean, adults still sound very much like, you know, one of the Peanuts cartoons. Wah, 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 wah. I have no idea what you people are talking about. I don't know that I want to know what you people are talking about. You know what?
So. I honestly do keep that in mind when I'm teaching, Philip. I honestly realize, like, none of these kids want to hear a damn thing I'm saying. They don't care. Their parents made them dress up this way and come here. They would not be here.
I hope they fake well, sir. I hope they sit there and learn to nod their heads, you know, even if they're not paying one bit of attention.
And I got to tell you, I think some of them are better than others, and I got to be honest, the ones that are good at faking it, I don't trust at all.
Oh, absolutely. Those are future lawyers, man.
That's it, man. I actually was telling a bunch of teachers, I'm like, you know, the kids who are really good at everything, they suck so they suck so much. Because they're just good at feeding the status quo. I want the ones that are going to, like, go out in a blaze of glory.
I'm sure you've got those, too. They're probably the quiet ones sitting there in the back staring out the window.
I'm trying to foster those guys. Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Right. You're going to go for it? Go for it in here, and I'll help you get to the promised land. Let's do this. We're going to Thelma and Louise.
I won't take up much time, but I just want to say, if you had ever been my teacher when I was a kid, I would have definitely liked you. You would have been a father figure to me, and I probably would have looked up to you. And I still look up to you, of course, but now I'm a grown man with a big beard, so I don't know what that means, but... I look up to you, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. And by the way, thanks for sending me the stuff that you have been. I'm sorry that I don't respond quickly, but I do see it and do read it in my own time and do check it out.
Don't stop. Exactly.
I love it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, don't stop doing it. I really do appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Good. Well, that means I'm glad. I just never want to crowd your day. I know you're a busy man.
I'm a busy man. Yeah.
We're all busy. I just send them to you because I think you might like it.
Perfect.
You may not like it, but it's something you may not have found. There's so much stuff on YouTube. I don't know why people don't use YouTube more as a resource. I mean, it's just a library upon a library. And in fact, recently, I think you said something. You recommended a Tim Hecker to me some time ago, like last year, I think.
Tim Hecker.
I was asking you about ambient music. Even if you didn't, it's just like only recently I've rediscovered him with some other guys. And, so I just share stuff that I think, and I love music. I really do. I think we have that in common. You can do it. I can't. So anyway, it's good to have a group hug. Missed you guys.
A big beardy group hug.
Right. Get this crazy man away from me.
No, not at all. Not at all. We're so happy to have you, Philip. It's always awesome.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, here we go. I'll get to it so I can let these other poets get on here. I know they're hungry, and I like to be fed by them. So, and also Cynthia. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for that piece, lady. You really knocked my socks off, as they say. You did well, girl. Proud of you. Well, anyhow, here we go.
All right.
The title, Greystoke trying to forget society while dozing in some topmost limbs. And then I have an inscription. Teach me to speak the language of men, from Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzan of the Apes. And here we go. read some words writ by men, their humble breaths often absent, superlative voices nonetheless, but coldly uttered with brazen hubris, mistaking insights and epiphanies as if every one were their own. Carbon dark the vast starry cosmos, whose harmonies are elucidations from cicada songs and sonatas, abysses of inverted symphonies heard inside the smallest wound, subtle their sublime mouths, throats pouring out wild birds, echoes made into common urns. And there it is, my friends.
That's very, very cool.
thank you.
Thank you. No, I really did like that. In fact, it's so funny. JT and I were talking about Tarzan and Greystoke and everything just Wednesday at the meeting.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a really random coincidence, but
it is.
Yeah,
yeah. It must be the spring. The warm weather brings out the Tarzan and all the men.
It also was the fact I was wearing a loincloth, and he was like, "What the hell?"
It was a little weird.
I almost had to put loincloth in the title. He's in a loincloth looking up at the stars.
I was going to say, I'm in a loincloth, but I look nothing like the guy in the last Tarzan movie, let me tell you.
This is a PG show, Michael.
PG-13. I can wear biker shorts.
Oh, joy. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to the next poet, and cheers to you both, and I look forward to the return engagement.
That's right. We haven't done it like that in a while. We're going to do it like that tonight.
Okay,
cool.
All right. Cheers, all right. Fellas.
Cheers. Thanks, Philip. And that was Philip Kahn all the way from Kentucky. Kentucky, as they say in The Last of the Mohicans. That's where they were going to go.
That's right.
They never got there. That's what happens when girls get involved.
Usually.
That is, in all women listening, please forgive me for what I'm about to say. It's a joke. It's about two rich British women who come in and Yoko Ono, a band of, you know, The Last of the Mohicans. All right. So, and then West Study is just, it's like the character from Dances with Wolves just shows up in Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
It's almost exactly, well, not exactly the same character. By the way, JT and I are relaunching Radio Angry. And we're going to start getting into more about what you could watch at home, like on Netflix, on Amazon, things like that. We're super psyched. He and I are such huge movie buffs. I think this is going to be awesome. So that's why we so easily go off on those tangents. But what I'm going to do, coming back to poetry, is I'm going to read something from our World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month for April 2017. And I'm not going to tell you who it is until I finish the poem. Now, some of you might already know who it is, and so just enjoy it. It's called Digging. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests, snug as a gun. Under my window, a clean rasping sound, when the spade sinks into the gravelly ground. My father, digging. I look down. Till his straining rump among the flower beds bends low, comes up 20 years away, stooping in rhythm through potato drills where he was digging. The coarse boot nestled on the lug, the shaft against the inside knee was levered firmly. He rooted out all tail tops, buried in the bright edge deep to scatter new potatoes that we picked, loving their cool hardness in our hands. By God, the old man could handle a spade, just like his old man. My grandfather cut more turf in a day than any other man on Toner's Bog. Once I carried him milk in a bottle, corked sloppily with paper. He straightened up to drink it, then fell to it right away. Nicking and slicing neatly, heaving sods over his shoulder, going down and down for the good turf, digging. The cold smell of potato mold, the squelch and slap of soggy peat, the curt cuts of an edge through the living roots awaken in my head. but I've no speed to follow men like them. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests. I'll dig with it. And that was from our Poet of the Month for April 2017, Seamus Heaney. And Seamus is a very fascinating poet, but I would recommend you look him up. You spell his name S-E-A-M-U-S-H-E-A-N-E-Y. Seamus Heaney. All right.
Same way my cat's name is spelled.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Your cat Seamus, who is the closest thing to an actual Garfield I've ever seen in my life.
I got really lucky.
He is very, very directly Garfield.
Yes. Yeah.
Just about as grumpy, too. I mean, in a very funny way. Your cat's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So let's head back. We're going to go to the second segment now. If we need five more unique callers, give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
Really? He hasn't? Okay. And now, another deep thought with Michael Amade.
If everybody in history spoke with a British accent, then where did every other language come from? Kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
That was your deep thought by Michael Amade.
Damn right it was.
That's a very deep thought. I said that right after watching Gods of Egypt, which somehow starred all white people speaking in British accents.
Yes. Yes, it did.
That was really something. I remember having a class of primarily Asian students. And, you know, their families were from Vietnam and China and stuff. And one of them asked me about that. And I go, you know, I don't know. I think it's kind of hilarious. Although I was thinking about, you know, remaking King Arthur, starring all, African actors speaking in a Russian accent, because it seems just as arbitrary to me.
Well, it's good, yeah.
You know, but why not? Or speaking Russian in general, I think, why not, right?
Well, they did so well in Hunt for Red October.
Well, you know what? Hunt for Red October was actually pretty solid.
I love that
movie. And I still go back to that soundtrack because it's badass.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Boisil Poledoras or something like that? It was incredible. Great soundtrack. By the way, you're going to start hearing me go off a lot more about film composing.
Oh, that's right.
More and more, because I have suddenly really been embracing and moving into the thing about composing for film. It's something that I really love doing.
Oh, and I was thinking the snobby end of things. I'm just kidding.
I'm definitely, it's something that I'm really getting into. In fact, JT and I are going to be starting to do a lot of work in that realm as well. You know, extracurricular stuff from this show, of course.
Yes.
Which I think will be great.
I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I think so too. But anyway, all of that aside, let's head to our callers. We only have two this segment.
Yeah.
But they're heavy, heavy hitters, and I think it's going to be, you need your own segment for guys like this. So we're going to start off by heading to Michigan to Dennis. Dennis, my friend, how are you?
Hello. I would gladly give up my lead in the first set if Cynthia would start it every week.
Man, she did great, didn't she? But we did miss
you then.
But...
Yeah.
It's good to have her here this evening. And boy, she really gets into her poetry. She gets deep and she infuses it into us.
Yes.
And what a blessing.
Agreed. So how are you, Dennis? What's going on?
Well, I'm wonderful. This is still April, National Poetry Month.
That's right.
And what a great month it is.
That's very true. Very, very true.
I had the poetry reading yesterday. 20 poets gathered together, and we had a good audience, and we just poured that poetry out, and it was just such a wonderful night of poetry last night, and I'm still on the poetry high from that.
Oh, that's great. I love hearing that. You know, in fact, you might be interested to hear, and I think Cynthia would be if she's listening, that Seth, who you guys got to meet when you were here in town for Posick Fest this last year, is tonight, right now, at the Mercury Cafe, where both Cynthia and JT and you and I, Dennis, went. And he's having a thing called a poetry rodeo, which is a pretty big event
right
now.
On.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be wrapping up before our show's over. But
Oh, sure, now you tell me.
I know. Yeah.
Well, I didn't, you know, hey, I didn't remember.
I could have flown into town for that.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't remember until earlier. Sorry about that. But at any rate.
It was a wonderful time being in Denver with you.
It was a good time.
And I cherish that.
Yeah. I did too. So what do you have for us this time then?
All right. Well, I'm going to read to you a poem that I wrote. The title is I Have No Illusions, and it is a tribute to the latter writings of Rabindranath Tagore.
Oh, beautiful.
And it goes like this. I have no illusions that whatever notoriety I have gained will live beyond my years here. As the shore is wave swept in ceaseless motion, my achievements will dissolve and be reclaimed by the universe. New generations will rise and supplant the record of old. Anything of merit from my life will be as a ripple in the pond that fades until it is non-existent. What I carry away is only what my heart holds. The love that was given away returns. The alms be multiplied. The peaceful spirit endures. Nothing else matters. The universe will not tolerate hatred, violence, and innocent bloodshed, and those atrocities will die with the perpetrators. I will be true to myself, abhorring the abominable, loving with full measure. I leave not a legacy, but a birthright honored. End of poem.
Wow. I really, really enjoyed that one, Dennis. And, you know, Tagore is one of my favorites as well. And I thought that was just great.
Oh, wonderful poet.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
And it makes you think, and he brings so much to light in his poetry. And if you don't respond to his words, you may have missed something.
That's a great way to say it. Because it's you may have missed something if you didn't respond to that. Mm-hmm. That's great. Dennis, thank you. That was really, really pleasant.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to read that.
Of course.
And I really appreciate, once again, the platform that you have allowed us to share in. And I know it comes with a cost, that and you guys have sacrificed so much to make this happen, and it is appreciated. And I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, the non-carpal tunnel. That doesn't make any sense. At least I'm catching myself.
That's
how
true.
You know.
It's
I'm not totally far gone. I'm catching myself.
Yes, very true.
Yeah, okay, very ahead true. Of it. All right. So let's head to the early morning in the UK to visit with our friend Titus. Let's wait for it. It's taking a moment.
Going under the ocean.
It's going under the there ocean. We go. Hey, Titus, how are you? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good evening to you all.
How are you? Yeah, it's been a few weeks now.
Sorry?
It's been a few weeks now. How are you?
Yes, not too bad. This time last week, or a bit longer, I thought I'd plunge into the bath, and I submerged myself, and for about a week now, I had wax trouble in my ears, so of course it's a little bit clearer now. I can just about hear you okay, so I shan't do that anymore.
Yeah, kidding. Wow,
I woke up and it was 3:10, which is 10 minutes into your show. I thought, poetry.
It's a wake-up call. Oh, no!
I thought to myself, I'm sorry, Cynthia, I just missed your poem. I hear everyone's praising it, so I'm very sorry for that. Yes, this poem I'm going to read comes from a word bank. And word banks are very good for me. I seem to be able to, you know, make something out of nothing, so to speak. It's like water. It's like force feeding you with words, I guess. My liver must be very good color. So, I titled this one Tales of Chivalry. So it's very much like water. It's all over the place, so forgive me for that. Tales of Chivalry. Various myths are built, you'd think crude, the chatter of Yant's views, aids a bucolic scene, Cenotia, has acquired this aged desitude, an aerophile assemblage it does convene, becoming beleaguer, demensne, as a theme for dalliance it roams, that shady affairs have a comely of emotions. If by the stream reflects a labyrinthine, then the sun gloats airs. Suspicion conflate the tale to create untold pastiche, and I would expect it to be fastidial. Forbearance has withstood the ransom sold. Important features, more as a result, an ephidial diaphanous. I urge you to feel its dulcet wares. The tale erstwhile, fugacious glances, pleasure, and epiphany, is quintessentially as often dares to include denouement and those we treasure. Into the spotlight, as the harbinger, a narrator evocative, and sensual supply of embrocation, his sole reply, discretion, I feel, as the predator, like the nape, as a gift for our good imagination, eloquence, an elixir which hastens the senses to exude all prominence. The infamous rain, I'll suggest love be steered by all its defences. The ineffable young Inigdu shall be twain. Her alliance is one knight's kingdom in shining armour, supposedly in dreams, but readily the lagoon glistens for her perch. He gloams a charmer, seducing an ephemeral equivalent to the moon. Denouement, it is said, one dissembles all truth of knowing. Then for it to become evanescent, and I, the adjudicator, will allow for any proof of the matter to be answered, it to lie adjacent. Filled with ebullience, the charm of awareness coupled from afar, love deems to reap failure with imbroglio, the all-assuming matter's dress, riparian themes, provided by love and verdure. And that's complete. It's an old-fashioned, I could imagine, a medieval scribe sat by the river and just writing away there, Michael.
You know, I absolutely can as well, actually, and especially as you said that, I can hear John Dowland playing in the background.
Well, I thought of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales myself, and that's the era in which I love writing about, you know.
I think it's wonderful. That's a wonderful
Very much
time.
Different to the poems that I've been listening to, sadly, I guess, for many.
But that's all right. I mean, I think the variety is there, and there was, but the language itself was much more robust, I feel, in the different inflections, the way they use things. Obviously, the language has grown much larger now, but...
Someone said to me once that with your writing, it's strange to say that in years to come, maybe when I'm dead, that people will read your work thinking that it's more than just a few years away, but maybe 500-600 years ago. So that's in quotes, so to speak. So... I didn't know whether to be happy about that. I thought, well, I never wanted to copy the old writers, but it's something I feel at ease with, you know?
Hey, you know, I wouldn't feel bad about that. I feel like Sting's going to run into the same problem, you know, some of his stuff. No, I think that's not a negative thing in any respect. And I personally love it when the thing that bothers me is when poets all decide they start hanging around each other and then all start sounding exactly like each other. That drives me crazy. And
yes,
you have your
I
own unique voice.
I think the cliche is definitely the cliche. I mean, when someone goes on and says, oh, something's not, you know, it's just the plain old stuff. And I don't like putting old stuff, you know, it's bores me, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. And I'll have to, I'll tell you more about it in the future. I've actually located, and I think I might have mentioned this once before, but so my family, I found out, was in the medieval period, in the Renaissance period, was a pretty powerful family in Italy and in Florence a long time ago, and especially kind of peaking right around the time of the Medici. And I found out recently that a family that we'd had good dealings with and then fell out with and then got back in good dealings with, named the Ruspolis, who are still considered were royalty in Italy. This guy named Tao Ruspoli, who's a flamenco guitarist and a filmmaker that I decided I wanted to hang out with. I found out that our families are actually very, very connected, and I'm trying to work out heading to California to meet this guy who is an incredible artist himself, and just trying to kind of bridge the gap. You know, not like it'll matter, but I think it'll matter a little bit, you know, and it'll be kind of fun to see how. As an education, yeah. Just to kind of meet this person and say, you know, our ancestors used to hang out.
Lovely. Yeah, hang out.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you, Titus.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Titus calling all the way from the UK. And like I said, heavy hitters, that segment. I feel like that segment's complete on its own right now. Don't you?
Yeah, it was definitely.
Man. Okay, so here's what I think. Since we have two, it's time for a return engagement. That sound good? So, I mean, it's always slow when we come back, especially after we've done a week off and then, you know,
yeah, on. Usually.
But the two people who sent in things over the last week have already called in.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do, if it's okay with them, is kind of keep these in my back pocket for when we need a bigger one. I'd rather just jump right into a return engagement. Before we end this, though, I want to read a quote that I just saw pop up.
Okay.
From Eugene Peterson, who is a pastor who's done, and kind of a scholar who's done a lot of translations and modern translations of scripture.
Mm.
This is a quote of his I just love. All the water in the oceans cannot sink a ship unless it gets inside, nor can all the trouble in the world harm us unless it gets within us. I thought that's great to think
that's
about
great.
Right now.
Yeah.
Let's head to the return engagement.
The what?
The return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. Sorry about that. I've got gas.
Yeah.
All right. I completely forgot about that.
After...
I'm like, why is JT looking at me so strangely? Okay. So now we're going to go to the return engagement, 720-240-9766.
That means if you've called, you can call again. If you haven't called,
you can call again.
All
if
right.
your name is, no, just call. You
yeah,
can call.
Call.
That's cool.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. You know, Prince was an incredibly talented guy.
Yes.
But I question some of his musical choices. As
yeah.
I'm listening now, I'm like, these shouldn't work. But they were hits.
Yeah.
What?
And then there's the other artists that did his, you know, his songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That also hit.
Right. Well, I mean, you think about something like, Nothing Compares to You is
yep.
a great example. And Sinead O'Connor is such a great singer. Actually, probably my favorite female singer ever. Is Sinead O'Connor, and she's just, you know, so fantastic. But that song was great. I mean, he really knew what he was doing, and he's so good. But he was also really intense. I remember hearing a story once, Joni Mitchell talking about how she'd performed a show.
Okay.
And she noticed this, you know, out of all these shows, she remembered one show in Minneapolis she was playing, and there was one guy in this huge crowd just staring directly at her, and she remembered who it was. Years later, she got to meet him again, and she realized that it had been a young Prince. She remembered his face in the crowd.
Wow.
Because of how intense he was watching what she was doing.
That's awesome.
That says something, too. That's also a star power thing.
Yeah.
You remember it, right? Prince. That guy was not suited for anonymity. Let's put it that way. All right, so we're here for the return engagement. We've got, what, five. Great.
Five.
Poets lined up. Let's go straight away. Let's get things started. Let's get things warmed up. Let's get things lubricated by heading to Kentucky. And Philip.
Maybe.
Maybe.
The system wants
to catch
up.
Switches over.
Hey,
there we go. Hey, Philip, how are you?
I am well. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. That's true.
All yes. right.
All right.
I'm glad I'm covered.
That's so many jokes. So many jokes.
So okay. many, yes.
So many. All right. Anyway, so what do you have yes. for us this time, my friend?
Oh, well, I did the little one. Now I'm going to do the big one for you.
All right.
All right.
Wonderful.
Here we go, then. I'll go right to it. The title, Treading Alongside Odysseus in a World Carved Up into Countries According to the Rage of Achilles. And there's one of four here. So one, travel upon irregular meters between ideas the way ink-blot shadows fade across barbarous landscapes. All maps, everyone bellicose, no matter their people or languages, since the oral told or signs modern, their tongues crave the taste of blood. Unanchored since the placental sac's been gnawed upon for raw sustenance, this protean consciousness sloshes onward over chiaroscuro undulations, adrift forever as if Odysseus could never return home, this halcyon sweetened term permanently lost in the past tense. Two, languorously through nameless cities, stubbornly ignoring all they dub as if owned since Genesis. Trace the constellations of Adam's jewels, strung in fiery wreaths around Eve's, lithe throat worshipped and adorned, blasphemously a million years deceased. Three, beliefs honed into weapons, phrases mitigating violent irrationalities portrayed by individuals and nations. Kingly oligarchies legislating plunder behind giant corporate entities, brand names molded into shields, the aegis of their aged facades defended and unquestioned. Moloch is not a metaphor unless America's military actions really can be distinguished by the semantic games Congress plays. Police actions and hawk claw operations, bludgeoning them with sticks when unimpressed by so many carrots contingent upon deals and policies, increasing the wealth of a few thugs amidst populist starvation. The dead they claim resurrected via duty and patriotism disguised as nothing more than simple fealty. Promises indistinguishable from lies, planted in the en masse impoverished, whose unwashed flesh sprouts rhetoric and weed-entangled propaganda, spoken better than their senators. Four, hear them murder for sacred causes, the politicians echoing Animal Farm, touting some lives are more equal, comparing literate swine to the masses, bereft of any legitimate choices. Gratefully awaken away from their noises, these petite, tiptoe, quiet feet measuring generations and luminous horizons where billowed sails disappear first, followed by the ship toward silence, even if a chorus sung by sirens. And there it is.
Well, Philip, you did it again.
Yes, sir.
You did it again. First of all, great piece, and thank you for that. But second of all, the other thing you've done again is somehow completely randomly talked about a subject that JT and I discussed last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we actually, well, here's the reason why, is for one of my classes, we're doing a four-part audio drama of the Odyssey.
Oh, wow.
And so it was so funny to hear you mention it. JT just looks at me and starts shaking his head.
just, damn it, Philip.
Right? That so, telekinetic telephonic, I tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Philip, what are we doing next week?
What should we talk about?
Look at my magic eight ball.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Hey, no, we really did appreciate it. That was a really solid piece, and I think everyone really enjoyed it.
Oh, I appreciate that. I truly do, and I'm humbled by the platform you guys provide, and I'm only too happy to be a part of it, you know. So cheers to the show. I really like the shark, by the way. I don't know which one of you two. I think it's probably you, Michael, said, hey, let's take this innocent photograph and put a big shark coming out of the water.
That's
you
it.
Know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or was that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, totally was. No, it was me. You're right. You're right.
I figured that. Like, that's got Michael written all over it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice Photoshop, buddy.
Thank you, man. Thank you. My Photoshop game is strong.
Right? All right. Well, thank you, guys, and I look forward to next week's show.
Hey, thank you, Philip. We look forward to having you, too, and we're happy to be back a couple weeks in a row now. I mean, we'll be back for a while.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. I think I'll be nice.
Good deal. Cheers.
All right. Cheers. Thanks, Philip. Talk to you later. And that was Philip, once again, calling from Kentucky in World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Whoa.
Yeah. Do you remember when we cut that little part of the show out, how we suddenly gained like 30 minutes?
True. It was really
odd. We were like, wow, that actually was a lot of time. We just had no idea.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's head to Pennsylvania, also known as the land of the salad master.
Well, we have to give Jim that moment to call
John has to. John.
John.
My father's name is John.
I'm John.
And, well, yeah, but you're JT.
Okay.
Me, you know?
Perfect. Ready?
All right. Here we go. And. Hey, Jim. You're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And you're in the air. All right. So it's been a great show, hasn't it?
Yeah. Sorry about the thing with the phone. It's like it just cuts out after like 10 seconds or something.
It just happens.
I have the same problem Stan's having.
Don't worry. I might actually have a solution I'm going to be working on this week.
All right. It's pretty straightforward. All right, cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Okay.
All right, so, Jim, I'm going to step back. I'm going to let you go. We'll talk after, as always.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
This poem, and what I mentioned before, I have two possible titles for it. And I'll let everyone decide which is better. The first title is The Crimson Nightmare of Pilate's Wife or Vulture's Voice. Tremulous clouds gather and break. Blood thunder and blood rain descend, a scarlet crown upon Palatine Hill. 40 scorpions sting the rejected king's back, and blood flows upon the broken bones of the world. Prometheus chained and nailed to a stone skull for the eagle to swoop and steal his liver, as the twin brothers stand eager, waiting for the meal. Vatican Hill trembles, tearing like a veil, and the dead walk among the living. I saw the shepherd with the face of a god as the sheep bleated for his blood in a vulture's voice, and I joined their cry of, crucify, crucify. Then I awoke. End of poem.
Oh, that was cool. I enjoyed that one. What'd you think, JT?
That was very cool.
Nice, man.
That one has taken me about 2 or 3 years off and on to the right, and I finally got the last two stanzas this past week, right after, you know, after Easter.
Yeah.
Cheers for the patience, man. Yeah. That's actually a really big deal, is the ability to hang on something and be tenacious and just not let it go until it's really done. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's... The hardest part was trying to do it. What would scare a Roman? Because the whole thing is based on one verse in scripture. When Pilate was trying Jesus, he got a note from his wife, said, have nothing to do with this man. I had a terrible dream about him.
Yep.
So what would scare a Roman? And
no wine. No, I'm just playing around, Jim.
You know, I'm just trying to come up with what would her dream be. And I originally had, for that second to last stanza, it would more reference Abraham when he was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. And a friend told me that a woman really would understand that. So I was just going a whole train of thought. I thought about Agamemnon, how he sacrificed his daughter before going off to the Trojan War. I said, I don't know about that. And I thought about Aeneas, and it got me thinking. But I did a little Googling on Vatican Hill, and it was a cemetery in ancient Rome.
Oh.
Yeah, because like, I know people hear Vatican, they'll think of St. Peter's Basilica and Vatican City.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is wow. That is just like everything, and just kind of fell into place on that.
Wow, interesting.
And with me and that, it's like, wow, mirrors the account in Matthew. You know, when Christ died on the cross, there was an earthquake, and the grave, the tombs of the righteous Jews opened up, and they actually went into the city after the resurrection.
Yeah,
Josephus actually mentions that. You know, an account that someone met someone that they knew who had previously died.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Huh.
That's very cool.
I think that's Jim, I really liked it, and that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. What do you think about the possible titles? Because a writer friend of mine told me that he thought that the first title was too obvious.
Okay, give me
He suggested Vulture's Voice.
I think I'd have to say the Vulture's Voice.
You like that one too?
Yeah, it's just enough to get you to think about it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I agree with it. Thinking about that, yeah, I would go with that. Or instead of the Vulture's Voice, I might even just go Vulture's Voice or. Or, I mean, you know, or you could even get slightly more, not metaphorical, but vague and just call it Vulture, you know? Anyway, there you go, Jim. There's our thoughts. You're the man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Will do.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too.
And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, sharing some cool work.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, because we took last week off, which was Holy Week.
Holy Week, yeah.
And
we got to be one of the only shows that just very directly is like, we're taking Holy Week off. I feel like there's not a lot of people who do that anymore, who are just so completely open, like Stephen Colbert. I mean, we know, or Colbert, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Who is, you know, Catholic.
Yes.
But he sure doesn't take Holy Week off, does he?
I think he did.
But he didn't say it.
It was just a thing. It was his break.
Yeah. No, but we took it off because it was Holy Week.
Yep.
And that's what it is. So. All right. Let's head to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, here we are, round two.
Yes, we are. Let's turn engagement.
That's it.
Woohoo. Boy. You've had such powerful poetry in the first two.
Yeah.
It's a hard act to follow, but I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit.
Oh, wonderful.
I have a poem that is titled Sailing Day, and it is written in the monotetra form.
Okay.
And this is it. The sails are set, the wind is right. As man and nature reunite, we glide along in pure delight. It does excite. It does excite. The winds we face with leeward sail, the gulls above our path surveil, and urgeth on with gentle wail. We shall not fail. We shall not fail. We're sailing under azure blue. The wind is constant as it blew. Each time we sail, adventure new. Excitement grew, excitement grew. Across the sea, across the foam, we let imaginations roam. As daylight fades, the shores we comb and head for home, and head for home. End of poem.
JT, I'm going to let you, you look like you had something to say about that first before I do.
No, I really enjoyed that. That was very nice, Dennis. Thank you.
It really was.
Really enjoyable.
Yeah. Dennis.
It's a hard act to follow those intense poems, but I thought I'd shift gear a little bit.
Well, I think that's, you know, first of all, Dennis, you absolutely can hang with the best we have here. But also, I have to say that I think that's a great tactic, too, is if you're feeling like the poetry before has come really hard, like someone like Sinister, if he calls and he reads,
yeah,
it's so no one's going to over-intense Sinister without screaming just full out into the phone,
right,
which he actually does sometimes.
Indeed.
But yeah, right. But the only way you can do anything that cuts through the noise is to come from a different angle, a different trajectory,
yeah,
or a
yep,
different place. And that totally resets the mode. And I think that's kind of what you just did. And we really enjoyed it.
Well, it's all good. We have such a diversity of voices, and that makes it all the more wonderful. And I appreciate everything I hear on the show. And
yeah,
I am so thankful for everyone that calls in, and you as the host. And I will not stop complimenting you and thanking you for allowing this to happen.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Dennis. And we're so happy to have
thank you. Thank you, and say God bless.
God bless. And once again, that is Dennis calling from Michigan and sharing some really solid work. That's great. Let's go to Florida. Diane, it sounds like she's had an intense night. Let's see how she's doing. And Diane, here you are on the air.
Oh,
how are you?
Oh, my goodness. Hello, gentlemen. How are you? And I need to close one of my windows listening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that rain?
That's like that secondary new noise that I'm listening to.
Oh, I see. I see.
Gentlemen, did you enjoy your week off?
Well, you know, yeah, I think so. I had a great time. I kept working and kept, you know, performing and traveled a little bit. What about you?
Well, I missed you all, but I have been working and taking stock of stuff, and I'm going to be making some major changes in my life soon.
Which is why I bought this new machete. No, okay.
What are you trying to do? Are you trying to take butterflies' wings off them with that machete? Not allowed.
You know, is that a Tony Robbins reference? Didn't he ask, like, you know, if you wanted to change something, would you tear the wings off a butterfly? It's weird. I never really understood that.
You would have to have followed me on Facebook to know that I post these little posts about living in Florida. It's a beautiful night in Tampa. And most of the time it's been a lot about butterflies because we have a butterfly bush here. And part of the pleasure that I have followed every day is small things like little butterflies. Recently, I posted something about my friend Tina. Her puppy dog was stolen. And what it woke up in me and what turned out to be a surprise, I had posted on Facebook, not Facebook, on Craigslist for her, his photo. And in researching this, I discovered that all of these different dogs are always missing down here, certain major breeds, and they are stolen to be fodder in dog fights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did a lot of research into it, and it was kind of a heartbreaker. Mm. The end story is that she got her puppy dog back. He's okay. It's all right.
Good.
But it did wake me up to, you know, certain things that you need to keep an eye on, which is what I do, like butterflies.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a real surprise to me. But it was, I started that off with It's a Beautiful Day in Tampa, and I've got a story to tell that is kind of sad, but it does have a happy ending, and the happy ending was that she got her puppy dog back.
Okay.
But the sad was discovering how many of these dogs have not been back, and these are pets. These are, you know, families missing them.
Yeah.
And they, yeah. So, anyway, enough of that. So, how are you guys?
Well, now I'm horrible. No, I'm
okay.
No, Diane, I'm playing around. I'm playing around.
let me think of a good joke. Maybe I better change the poem I was going to read.
Hey, what was the joke we heard? What happens when the what do you get when the Red Sox
and the White Sox
and the White Sox are what happens?
Share a washing machine.
Share a washing machine. What do you get? The pink socks. Pink? Yeah, the pink socks.
I wear pink socks. What about you guys?
I wear nothing but pink socks and pink underwear. That's my secret, and now it's out, and now I can go off the air. No.
Well, good thing I like pink.
Well, you know,
not that I need to see you guys in your underwear.
Yeah, I don't think anybody needs to see that.
I won't be shocked.
Hey, you know what? I don't have tearaway pants for nothing, Diane. Just saying.
We just went like way downhill, really fast.
Yeah, it went really down. Yeah, it really did. It was like a slip and slide down to this.
Why does this always happen to me?
Well, Philip went before you. That's why. Yeah.
Okay, I have not been writing recently. I don't know why. Do you all ever go through this period where you like step back and you read everything you've ever written and it's like it all sucks? Well, that's what your brain is saying. Mm-hmm. That's recently what I've been going through. So I'm reading a post from one of my fellow members in the garden, and I hope that's okay. And let me know when you would like me to start.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. This is a really beautiful piece. This is by one of our top writers. His name is Bob Williams. He lives in Buffalo, New York. And I think they still had snow like a week or two ago. We're down in the 90s here in Tampa. Brag, brag, brag. Okay, this is called What Men Who Don't Cry Hear Inside of Waterfalls. Grandpa gave me his old boxing gloves, his hands shaking like half-squashed spiders that could barely hold anything. So he pushed them across to me on the table. He knew he was dying, but laughed anyway, because the Everlast on those gloves was a lie, the ease and a fading abraded by punches and time. I don't know what blood they remembered, what bones broken on impact of men left faceless when their fight was over, forgotten and faded like ghosts wafting through abandoned arenas or litter blown across concrete floors. After he died, I tried on his gloves. My hands got lost in them. I hung them from a nail in the wall by his trophies. They were like bruises next to his medals. Legacies guiding me, quiet testimonies to what I'd learned about the spoils of fighting. All the glittering things earned by pain that keep shining. Grandma sobbed when she took down his trophies. When I told her Grandpa wouldn't want her to cry, all the medals she held hit the floor, clanging like bells between rounds. As memory sneaks into the ring, years after the last punch is thrown, to sit in long empty corners, a true reigning champion that can't be knocked out or disqualified. She took me by my shoulders. I was the only trophy she'd cling to. She told me men shouldn't hold back their tears, that Grandpa held rainstorms inside. Years later, she shook me with words, saying some nights he'd come climb from bed broken, to lean out the window and look at the moon, battered from asteroids left without water, like a lover to him looking down, shedding lunar dust nobody saw, dried tears falling through space in the wordless semantics of sorrow. Tonight, I grip these metal rails over Niagara Falls. They thrum and pulse like the water's power, It's cold here, but beautiful. And now I know that sadness has its own inner euphony, an unheard harmony that speaks to the heart, not in bird songs or poetry, but in blood's tidal movements, the systola and diastola, a salt water inside of us, coursing through caverns, filling and emptying the muscle that keeps us alive. Something ancient cries where this river runs down between New York and Canada, damp mist rising, the way human tears evaporate skyward, the way sorrow escapes us up into the air and floats over the foam in these rapids. The first time I came here was with my grandfather. He'd gone to the doctor's that morning. He came back and said, "Let's go to the falls." He stood at the rail where I'm standing now, leaning over the edge, cocking his head, not like a boxer dodging blows, but the way a man hearing a language for the very first time tries to know the slurred words through white noise that falling water babbles incessantly, babbling like a boxer punched down to the canvas who yells at his weakness beneath the booing and hiss of the crowd. He turned and looked at me, remembering I was there with him, and he pulled himself back from that railing. He said he wished he could stand in those waterfalls, knowing now what the doctor told him. I think he wanted to cry where no one would notice, or curse in the roaring where no one would hear, or wash himself clean from the smoke of cigarettes that once hovered like ghosts in boxing arenas where beaten men's lungs swollen with smoke couldn't shout past the pain of their folly. Tonight, I'm getting electrical shocks from these rails, but I'm holding on to them anyway. To feel the rumble of waterfalls, to imagine the hydropower spinning the turbines that drive the generators that spark the electricity, that light the lights that we see by. There's a man down at the rail for me crying, a huge broken nose. He looks like a boxer, his shoulders heaving like boulders trying to fall down steep mountains. He leans out over the railing, punching at something I can't see or grabbing at something he can't have, floating at the edge of his fists, dancing like fireflies or stars in cartoons, spinning past days, punch-drunk fighters who finally fall to the ground. Looking at him, I see Grandpa again, weighed down and heavy as he reaches out over the rail to Earth's tears streaming below him to throw one last punch in the air until I reach out to pull him from the edge, dodging his punches, knowing I'm dead if he hits me, but dead inside if he falls into the white noise of whatever emotion men feel between living and dying, where boxers don't hear bells or crowds, their hearts going dark in that final count, their past rushing by them, their lives dropping through them like waterfalls.
That was a powerful piece.
Very much so.
Wow.
Thank you for letting me read it. I know it was a bit long, and I do want to extend to both of you gentlemen, I know when time allows, that you come and partake, be a guest poet in one of our weeks. I would very much welcome that.
Yeah, we're going to throw down. Will you give us, let me ask this, will you give us until August?
Most definitely.
Okay.
We work in anthologies. We are going to publish, so I may talk to you guys about that too.
Sure.
We're working in 12-week segments. We're now at week 10 of Anthology 2.
Okay.
So in 2 weeks, we're going to be taking a little break. I'm getting more organized as the longer I do this.
We know how that goes. Yeah, we get that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm going to be lining things up, and I think in a more, much more organized, metrical fashion, whatever.
Okay.
Sadly, when I started the garden, I still wasn't, I think I had only recently been in WPOM, but I know Dennis, Philip, Mary, Barb is a member, Titus is a member also. I would like to see us all grow together.
Of course.
And yeah. So, and just so you know, I've got more and more people. We have a little chat thing we do, and I've got people that are now in the Middle East and India are listening to the show.
Wonderful.
I still have to kind of figure out all the time zones. I know that.
Yeah, well, India is like, what, 11 and a half hours different? I mean, it's pretty much.
I think from what I understand right now, well, I don't know how many time zones they've got.
Right.
I believe it's a 10-hour time zone.
Okay. Yeah. So it's you know, it's funny. I think it's Mountain Standard Time. It's 11 and a half hours different.
Okay, yeah, and guess what? I'm on Eastern. I think on Eastern Standard Time, it's a 10-hour time difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a half. I forget that.
Yeah, that half is there, which totally freaked me out. I didn't even know we did a half.
You know what? I didn't either. And I lived overseas. I lived in Africa.
Yeah.
And it was like, I never knew about this half-hour time zone difference. I'm not even quite sure what the cause of that is. But yes.
You know what it's called?
India,
it's called.
And when I talk to them, I say, oh, it's 5 o'clock here. And they'll be like, oh, no, it's. You know, like 4:30 or 5, you know, whatever, 3. It's
yeah. It's just called people trying to make sense. Yep. Yeah. All right, Diane. Thanks so much.
God bless you guys. We miss you all so much. So glad to see you back.
We're happy to be.
We'll continue.
All right.
And I'm done. I think I'm done. Okay. Let me leave this on the left.
All right.
Butterflies are free, like me.
All right. Wonderful.
Love that movie. Love that movie.
All right.
That's really stupid.
All right.
Thank you, Diane. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Diane calling from Florida.
Oof. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Which movie?
Butterflies Are Free.
Yep.
Oh.
That's the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Who's in it?
Goldie Hawn. A young right. Goldie Hawn.
All right. Well.
And a couple others that I can't rattle off their names, but.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have to watch it. Maybe we'll talk about it at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's head to close out the show just as she began it. Cynthia in Vancouver. Cynthia, are you still there? Oh, Cynthia.
Cynthia. Oh, no.
It's okay.
Ping her in the chat room and see if she might.
She's around here. All right, let's see. I think she knows.
That weird connection thing might have happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that does happen. Oh, she can hear us.
Okay.
Okay, so Cynthia, can you hang up and call us back? Because I think something weird happens with Skype every now and then, and that must have been what just happened. So if you hang up and just give us a call.
Perfect.
Okay, there she goes. So I think we're going to be getting a call back any moment. And
doopy doopy doo.
Doopy doopy doo. Yes.
Doopy doopy doo.
This is what we do. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Yay, okay.
Oh, Cynthia, perfect. We can hear you now.
Hooray.
All right. Sorry about that. It's something weird that happens with the program every now and then.
Yeah. I have a short one to end with.
Okay.
Dan had a nice mood of butterflies when you guys were talking about butterflies.
Yes.
It's spring here and it's Earth Day tomorrow. So this one is a short one called Sunflowers. Thousands of seeds, food and beauty, the ever-changing way stems bend in the light. A reminder of the magnificence of life and grace. Not only are they alive, but the planet nourishes them with sunlight and rain. End poem.
That was a lovely piece and very
Thank
short.
You.
I hate to think of you waiting this long to read something that short, but it really... Oh, that was lovely, though. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys, and happy Earth Day. Yeah,
happy Earth Day to you as well. And Cynthia, just as a side note, at some point, I want to talk to you about several things. One, the festival kind of stuff to see if, you know, where you are and if you need any help or anything.
Oh.
And then two.
That's great, I do.
Okay, cool. And I'm totally there. We're there to do that and help you out. And then the other one is I just want to talk to you about screenwriting and see what you're doing with that just to connect. That's all.
Oh, I would love that.
All right.
I need deadlines in my life.
Yeah, that's a
you
real
know,
thing,
need,
isn't it?
I definitely, like, I've been noticing I've taken all this time off to finish my book, and I don't really finish it until I met up with other writers where we meet once a month.
Yeah.
And we all missed our deadline this month, so we're all a little bit pathetic. But, but I need that deadline to make me go back and edit.
Yeah.
You know, any kind of deadline. If I'm talking with you about screenwriting, because I have so many projects that are so close.
Well, and that drives me crazy because I've lived in that world so long. And I, you know, one thing that's really funny to me is I remember hearing John Corigliano, who's an incredible composer, and I think he won the Academy Award twice. I think he's done two soundtracks for films, and he's won the Academy Award both times. But he wrote the music for The Red Violin. And
right.
And so I saw him being interviewed, and they asked, you know, what his process was. And he said, well, for this particular piece he was talking about, he had gone to Morocco and rented a hotel room. And he was right in between two towers that would do the call to prayer at the same time, but they'd be singing different things. And so he just lay in bed with the lights off and his arm over his head and just listen. And he would basically do that to procrastinate. and then he had about a week before the music was due, and he panicked and did it all. And he says, that's my process. That's what I do. He just panics and does it all at the last second. And you know, the thing I think is really interesting is deadlines are a very big thing. I've even had to start working in deadlines to the amount of time I'm writing. And to me, like every day, I actually schedule the time. I set an alarm and I go until the alarm goes off because it doesn't happen otherwise. And it's
hard.
It's difficult. But I think, you know, it's also good to keep in mind that in Hollywood, if you don't fulfill your contract, you are sued the next day.
Wow. Actually, in film school, they really pound that into you, though, eh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, even screenwriting at York, well, I think the first thing we learned is that if you don't have it done, this is how much money it will cost before you're fired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very, very.
This is how much. It's like, you better have it done by the deadline.
Oh, yeah.
The end.
They're not kidding.
But I think we're always in process, though. I think absorbing all that music is the thing. Like, I find I like to write. I write all the time. The only thing I hate is stopping. Mm. Like, I hate when it's time to stop.
Yeah.
But what I haven't got control of is all those 200-page files that I just write all day. What I need is a deadline to make me edit them and actually send them somewhere.
And finish, because I think we're all afraid of finishing.
Yeah, that's actually my big thing. And they get totally out of control. Like, even a poem is so much easier. That little poem I read first is like the tip of the iceberg for the amount of material I actually have on that subject.
Yeah, see?
So, yeah, I would love to connect about screenwriting.
Well, great.
And
great. We'll talk about
it. For World Poetry Open Mic in Vancouver, we're definitely, there's a group of us who are really interested, and we're pretty sure we got a venue, but we need help figuring out the technical.
Hey, we're there. We're there for you, and we'll make it happen. All right.
Okay.
Awesome, Cynthia.
So thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. Thank you. All right. And I'll be in contact this week, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much. Bye. And that was Cynthia in Vancouver, a great friend of the show. We've had some really good people reading tonight. We've had some great things. It's good to be back.
Yes.
You know, I think it's funny. We do this for a while, and we're like, oh, we finally have a week off. This will be nice. And then I find myself on Friday going, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, but you could go out. You could do these things. And I'm like, well, first of all, it's Good Friday, so I'm not going to do that. But second of all, you know, when we do a normal, you know, people are like, oh, we could go do these things. And I sit there and think, yeah. And you know what? Going out and having fun is great. It totally is.
Yep.
However, I don't really feel like I'm doing with my time what I want to be. And I think what I want to be over the years, even from the beginning, but over the years, has just become this.
Yeah.
And, isn't that funny?
It's good.
Yeah. All right, so from JT, from myself, from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Seamus, the living example of Garfield, this has been World Poetry Open Mic. Thank you, everyone. We look forward to seeing you next week. And until then, stay poetic.